أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولكن البر من اتقى وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. وقاتلوا في سبيل الله الذين يقاتلونكم ولا تعتدوا إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. واقتلوهم حيث ثقفتموهم وأخرجوهم من حيث أخرجوكم والفتنة أشد من القتل. ولا تقاتلوهم عند المسجد الحرام حتى يقاتلوكم فيه فإن قاتلوكم فاقتلوهم كذلك جزاء الكافرين. فإن انتهوا فإن الله غفور رحيم. And they ask you about the new moons. Say they are signs to measure times for the affairs of mankind and signs to measure the time of Hajj. And it is not an act of virtue that you enter the homes from the back, but virtue is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter the homes from their proper doors and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you may prosper. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu says that the Sahaba kiram were a unique class of people, the most loved and the most intelligent, most understanding. They had asked questions to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in cases of extreme necessity. It wasn't just a pastime. Hence, the Quran Sharif records only 14 of their questions, 8 in Surah Baqarah. One we have already passed, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, and this is the second question. And the other 6 is throughout the Quran. So amongst the questions that they had asked was about the new moons. Perhaps there were certain superstitious beliefs in the pagans, and the Sahaba kiram wanted to clear these beliefs, or it was that they may understand what are the ahkam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that relate to the new moons. Obviously, they hadn't asked Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam to investigate what were the scientific reasoning behind the waxing and the waning of the moon. For it is beyond the shan and the greatness of the Sahaba ikram that they ask such stupid and unnecessary questions that do not relate to the hereafter and not relate to their benefits in this world. So they hadn't put forth such questions that were of no essence and of no benefit. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. Say these moons, new moons, are signs to measure time for the affairs of mankind. From 5 of our obligations, then 4 revolve around the sighting of the moon, the Hajj, the Zakat, the Ramadan, and the Sawm, fasting. All these revolve around the sighting of the new moon. So these are signs to measure times. وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَن تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا. The next pagan superstitious belief and practice was that when they were in Hajj and in the state of Ihram, they would enter the homes from the back, not from their proper doors. So Allah Ta'ala had eradicated and wiped out this pagan practice as well, that it is not an act of piety that you enter the homes from their backs, from the rear. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. Righteousness is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guard yourself. And when you have to enter your homes, then enter the homes from their proper doors. But the more important thing is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guard yourself from disobeying Him, that you may prosper. several things are learned from here. One is to keep away and guard yourself against superstitions. Sometimes a practice becomes popular, and people begin to attach certain type of superstitious beliefs with that practice. So these type of artificial restrain that is without a base, that must be abandoned. Don't allow your mind to run in superstitions. Number two is this, that when you do something, do it in a dignified, in a respectable manner, and follow proper procedure. Don't go about doing things in the back door, rather follow proper procedure in a dignified and respectable manner. Number three, we also learn that when a practice is practiced, though in essence it may be permissible, but it may create some type of doubts amongst people that is this a righteous work, is this something that is to be done. So in essence it may be permissible, but then people begin to misconstrue it that it is an act of righteousness and it has to be done. So that type of an act should be left out just in order to secure the belief and the faith and the practice of people. That in essence a certain act is permissible, sometimes even recommended, but because of people practicing it and showing too much of importance, people begin to consider it as an important element in deen, then that practice should be left out. وَأَتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. So do things in procedure, proper rationale, don't be irrational in your decisions, with procedure and rationale, correct thinking. But remember at all times, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is your honor, that is what is your goal, and that is the thing that you should be aiming towards. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those people who fight against you, but be sure not to exceed limits, for Allah ta'ala doesn't love those who exceed the limits. This was another fear in the Sahaba ikram, that in the sixth year of the Hijrat, the Sulh Hudaybiyah had concluded and it ended. In the seventh year, they were promised that they could come into Makkah Mukarramah and remain there for 3 days and return, just a visa of 3 days to perform the pilgrimage or the umrah and return thereafter immediately. But the fear was this, that perhaps the kuffar may not keep up to their part of the deal, that they are not supposed to be engaging in war. Sahaba ikram are coming to Makkah Mukarramah and perhaps they are defenseless at the time, and then these people take advantage over the situation, they exploit the situation and kill them. So what is to be done? So the Quran then cautions the Sahaba ikram that take up your precautions, don't enter into war, but take your precautions, you are human. And these people's track record also shows that they don't keep up to their side of their deal and their agreements. So you be in a state of, you be in a state where you have taken all precautions. وَقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ. And if they ever start off, then kill them and slay them wherever you find them, and turn them out of their homes like they turn you out. And remember, this fitna and this evil, mischief and oppression is far worse than killing and slaying. But remember not to fight them in the Masjidul Haram until they start off fighting you first. If they start off fighting you, then you kill them and slay them. This is the punishment of such kafirs and such disbelievers. But if they cease fighting, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Again, important principles are brought to the fore. One is this, that initially jihad and fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was only permitted for defense reasons. If you are attacked, then you are allowed to defend yourself. That was the initial command. Thereafter, an offensive fight also was legalized and made permissible. Then, the Sahaba ikram were concerned for multiple reasons. One is, we have entered into an agreement and a peace treaty with them, then how should we fight them? Number two is, we also have the fear that they may open up arms against us whilst they see us in the state of ihram, or in the sacred precincts of the Haram. in the sacred precincts of the haram fighting is not permissible, then what do we do? Do we just remain seated there and allow them to kill us? Or should we defend ourselves? So these were the reasons that, these were the factors that were concerning the Sahaba Kiram. What should we do? So Allah Ta'ala says that if these people initiate fighting, then you respond and you defend yourselves. And don't feel any feeling of guilty because, wal fitnatu ashaddu min al qatl, such oppression and such mischief is worse than fighting, than worse than slaying. Many a times in a movement there may be just a few elements that incite trouble. Everybody is implicated thereafter, or everybody joins hands, not realizing that there were just a few elements that had incited trouble, that had spurred them on. The few elements may have their own agendas, and on account of their own agenda, then they incite, and they spur up and they stir up trouble. As a result, the entire public joins up with them, and after many years have passed on, they begin to understand that they were disused. So this is that fitna that the Quran Sharif speaks about, that this inciting of trouble. It may be the work, and it may be just a few people, few individuals that stir up this type of fitna. So to kill and to slay these people of fitna is just right, it's just the thing that is supposed to be done to save the rest of humanity from trouble. So in jihad, this is one of the reasons why Islam advocates jihad, that there is some type of a fitna, someone that is inciting problems and troubles, someone becomes a hurdle on the road, he becomes an obstruction to the path of peace and freedom. So he doesn't want peace to prevail, he's got his own agenda, he's got his own maqsad and his own objectives. And this objective may not be in keeping with the objectives of the broader public. But he wants to push this, so he will incite trouble, he will stir up problems and difficulties for all people. So to kill such people is in keeping with justice and fair play. لَا تُقَاتِلُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. You're also concerned about fighting in the precincts of the Masjidul Haram, so don't start off fighting with them in the precincts of the Masjidul Haram until they initiate the fight. So if they do initiate any fight, then slay them, and this is the punishment of such disbelievers. But if they desist and they cease from fighting, then remember that Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful.